stronger, better together. We will be transitioning into something else, and it's taken us many years to get to where we are today. And we'll be sharing that soon as we unpack that with you. But we need to finish where we're going here today. Stronger, better together. We started to look in this series about Jesus. Who is this man, this radical man who does rather strange things? He raises people from the dead. He goes to people that are blind and deaf and makes them well. He does things that people have never seen. He speaks in ways that no one else has spoken about, and even the religious leaders of the day don't carry the authority that he has. And Jesus has the audacity to say, "I can forgive sins," when only God can forgive sins. And he proves who he is by raising the dead, by the miracles that follow. And if we're going to be stronger, better together, we have to grasp just how wonderful Jesus is, how powerful he is, how mighty he is, and what he can do in our lives, and what he will do. The last time I spoke on Stronger, Better Together, we looked at the 6 illegal trials of Jesus. And we discussed there that God had a rescue plan, an amazing rescue plan. And on the carol service on the 10th of December, we looked at how God had a top secret rescue plan to save the world. We're going to unpack that a bit today. Bang, 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 bang. This long journey from the Garden of Gethsemane, today we're going to look at Jesus's death and his burial. This long journey from the Garden of Gethsemane to Golgotha was a painful one for Jesus. Never underestimate what he did in those few hours to win a battle, to get to the cross, to die for us on the cross. That was a battle. Terrible battle. But I want to say, every moment, every second, Jesus is still in control of what happens to him. Do you believe that? People think, well, he was in control of sinful men and evil men who control what happened. No, they didn't. You see, God was still in control. I want to say to you, there are situations you find yourself in your life where you think someone else is in control. Can I tell you, they're not? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he's with you, is still in control. And he will be with you 100% of the time. And even up to this time when he's crucified on a cross and he breathes his last, he's still in control. And we're going to look at some of that today. Part of understanding about being stronger, better together, we're understanding the Jewish law and what that meant for the Jewish people. So we can understand that. We're going to apply some of those things today. So in Jewish law, there was a number of things that had to happen, especially when there was a Jewish feast. Now, what was the Jewish feast that was about to happen when Jesus was crucified? Passover. And Passover law had to be followed. Passover was instigated by God hundreds of years before, thousands of years before. Now, in Jewish law, no one was to remain hanging on a cross on the 7th day, and they had to be taken down from the cross before sunset, before the start of the new day. Had to be done. Now, remember when we looked at the illegal trials, the trials where they brought Jesus to Pilate, and these religious leaders of the day who should have been leading people in the way of God manipulated the Roman soldiers, manipulated Pilate so that Pilate would kill Jesus, so that they wouldn't have any blood on their hands. And Pilate has to make sure that there's no more trouble, because his job's at stake. He has to make sure that Jesus is taken down from that cross. He's given orders to those soldiers, kill him, get him down from that cross as soon as possible. I'm fed up with this problem. So we find that there are these things that have to happen to Jesus. Now, if someone has not died by the time the seventh day is coming to end, the sunset, they have to do something about the people that were on the cross. And they come with a big hammer, and they'll come to the person, if not, and they will break their hips. They will break their legs. There is this massive trauma that they are attacked, and they have this trauma on their body. And what happens, I don't know whether you know this, there's some medical people in the room, is that if you break a hip or you break a leg at this part here, you could lose up to 2 litres of blood in your hip. So if you break 2 hips, you're talking about 4 litres of blood. And so what will happen is that you will have blood loss and you will go into a coma and you will die. May not go into a coma, you may just die. And so to make sure that every person was dead, they would have to break their legs if they were not dead on the cross already. 2 men with Jesus, one on the right, one on the left. Sunset's coming. Command's given. They need to die. Now, they could have been on that cross for days. The Romans knew how to torture people. They could make you hang on the cross for days and keep you alive. But on this instance, they couldn't do that. So they come to the first one. They come to the first thief. They see he's still breathing. And they break their legs. They come to the second one on the side of Jesus. They see him and break his legs. But when they come to Jesus, they don't do this. Because Jesus has already said, it is finished. And he breathed his last. And he died. Jesus did die on the cross. Does everybody know that? He did die. We're going to look at a theory that people say at some point about Jesus dying on the cross. So let's look at John 19:31. Now it was on the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then the other. But when they came to Jesus, they found that he was what? And they did not break his. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Why did they stick the spear inside Jesus' his side? Because when blood and water flows out in the way it did, it was a sure sign that person had died. That's how they knew. From what flowed out of Jesus' side. Jesus is still in control. Because Jesus, you see, has to fulfill everything that is written about him thousands of years before. And we're going to find out what was written about Jesus thousands of years before in God's master plan. Who knows another name for Jesus? How about the Lamb of God? What did John the Baptist say? Behold the... Who takes away what? Takes away the sins of the world. What was the feast that they were celebrating? What happens at Passover? The lambs are slaughtered. The lambs are slaughtered. Who do you think is God's perfect sacrifice lamb that's about to be slaughtered? Jesus. And God instigated things many, many years before about how a lamb was to be treated and how it was not to be treated. So let's have a look at a scripture in Exodus chapter 12. It is the sacrificial lamb. Must be inside, eaten inside the house, and none of the meat outside the house. Then what does it say? Do not break any of its bones. That's interesting, isn't it? Let's look at another one. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 12. They must not leave any of it. That's the sacrificial lamb, the lamb that's been slain, the lamb that's been eaten in the house, till morning, or break any of its bones. When they celebrate the Passover, they must follow all the regulations. So God is instigating right in the time of the Passover what is going to happen to Jesus. Let's have a look at another scripture now. John chapter 19, verse 36 to 37. These things happened so that the scripture would be filled. Not one of his bones would be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look upon the one who was pierced. And you see how God's plan works itself out to the detail. God is still in control. And you know what? We think about Jesus' death and we think it's terrible. It is terrible. It was a planned death. Every detail of Jesus' plan was of death was planned. And Jesus fulfilled everything. And this is why we have the confidence that what Jesus has started, he will finish. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And from the beginning there was a plan that Jesus would die in this way. And you know, as Jesus hung on that cross, it seemed like the devil. It seemed like the demonic forces. It seemed like that they had defeated the Son of God once and for all. Who plays chess? Anybody plays chess? What's the idea in the game of chess?
Checkmate.
And Satan and his forces, when Jesus is on that cross, do their move, their deceitful move, and they think, end game, Jesus, checkmate. They think they've got him. They think, we've done it. Jesus, you didn't see that coming, did you? And they say, checkmate. We'll come back to that in a minute. It seems that God's amazing rescue plan was going to fail right at the end. And the followers of Jesus, as they look to the cross, are devastated. Their hopes and dreams are blown out the water. I don't believe it. I can't believe what I'm seeing. It's not real. You ever had a situation like that that's faced your life? That's come against you? And you're looking at it and think, this situation is, it can't be real. Surely it's not real. I don't understand it. And there are times in our life we will have those. If you haven't had them already, you will. I don't want to be a prophet of doom. You will come across a situation where you think, I just don't understand this, God. It doesn't make sense to me. I didn't think it was going to work like this or pan out like this. But I want to tell you, God has a plan. Amen. Would you say next to the person next to you, God has a plan? You see, you may not know it or understand it at that time, and those disciples didn't fully grasp it. We have the hindsight of looking at the story and go, don't be devastated. God has a plan. Amen. But we weren't there in that moment. But in that moment that they are right now, the whole world's gone. The hopes and dreams have gone. And you may be in this room where you feel that. I tell you what, God's got another move to make on that chessboard for you. He's just waiting for the right time to do that in God's time. There are three D's that people worry most about. Death, darkness, and the devil. The amount of people that I know that worry about death, that fear death. Can I tell you, I face death. I've been to a point of almost leaving this earth. There is nothing to fear if you know Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. And there are Christians today that fear death. I'm so frightened about it. Or fear the death of a loved one. If you're in with Jesus, you do not need to fear death. Seriously. And if you're frightened and worried about death, we're going to pray for you after this sermon. Because that's not from God. You do not need to fear death. The devil. People are frightened of the devil. They look at the devil and they're so frightened of him. And it's not the devil that we depict on television. He's an evil dictator. And many people fear him. And they fear the darkness and what happens in the darkness. And we've talked about how the devil loves to work in the darkness. That's his favourite place. And if he wants to tempt you, and to pull you down. Do you know, quite often they'll do it at night. How many of us at times at night stay awake at night thinking about stuff? And the devil has a field day with our mind. That has to stop today. Because Jesus will step into that darkness and bring light. I had an encounter in Israel with a very strong demonic force. Some of you know it. I've told you the story. It's the strongest demonic force I've ever met. Can I tell you? I was not afraid. Do you know why? Because Jesus was with me. And there will be times when demonic forces will raise their heads. There are demons out there. And that's why you need to be in God's camp, not in the enemy's camp. And you do not need to be afraid. Because the Lord your God is with you and he is mighty to save. If it's one of those D's that you're worried about, we're going to pray for you later. The devil plays this card every time, you know. And it's his card of deception. He is the master of deception. He is good. He's very, very good at deception. He is the king of deception. And you know what he does? He comes to good people and he tries to deceive them. And says, did God really say? Or it doesn't really matter if you do this, you know. It's not going to harm. It's not going to hurt. And you know, sometimes the devil comes to good people who think what they're doing, that they know is wrong, then becomes it's okay to do. In fact, the devil tells you it's a righteous thing to do. He'll come to us in our secret sins. And he'll see us and he'll sort of say, it's okay. It's all right. No one knows. No one knows what happens in the darkness, do they? Jesus does. We'll talk about that right now. Who was the man that the traitor? Judas. Satan comes to him and starts to deceive him. And starts to convince him that actually betraying Jesus was a good thing. He used his secret sin. What was his secret sin? Money. The love of money. It's no problem having money. If you have money in the church, it's no problem. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And the devil starts to deceive him. It's okay. Look how much you can earn. Look what you can get out of this. Can I tell you, secret sin means we'll betray our faithful friend, Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the devil will play on it. And you give him a free rein. And I give him a free rein. If a secret sin in our life, he'll monopolise on it. And it will affect our relationship with our faithful friend. And that's what Satan wants to do. And if the secret sin, it will affect your relationship with Jesus. You'll never get to that point of intimacy where Esther brought that word on the 7th. There's a copy of it in reception there. And the deceiver will come. And he deceives the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. He deceives those people that cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And Satan is having a field day. And the very person that can save them, that can liberate them from evil, is the one that they're crying, crucify. Probably some good people, totally deceived by the enemy. And they think what they're doing is they're doing God a favour. In the Holocaust, people were convinced by Satan that they were doing a good thing to hand over the Jewish people, and they were doing God a favour. God hasn't finished with his Jewish people, let me tell you. God hasn't replaced the Jewish people with us. If you believe that, come and talk to me. God has got an amazing plan. But you see, sometimes the devil can put good things in front of us and make it look like it's the right thing for us to do. Because he wants to deceive us. And we've got to be careful. Because he's clever. And he's good at playing chess. And he's good at placing things in front of us. And, oh, that's good. But it might not be God's plan for our life. And it's important we are not deceived. So it appeared on that terrible day. That place of Golgotha, that place called the skull where Jesus was crucified, that the devil and darkness had inflicted a mortal wound from which Jesus would never recover. Checkmate, Jesus. Gotcha. Gotcha. Jesus dies. They take Jesus from the cross. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they're happy. We've done it. We've managed to get the Romans to do our dirty work. So there's no dirt on our hands and no blood on our hands. Do you know what we can do tomorrow? We can celebrate Passover as we always have in our religious way. And we can continue manipulating the masses. We continue to control the people. And we can continue to get rich because we've got rid of that troublemaker, Jesus. And the disciples are broken at that point. Two important members of the Jewish ruling bodies request Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And both were secret followers of Jesus. Can I tell you today, in the Jewish government, called the Sanhedrin, by the way, there are secret followers of Jesus. I've met them in government. Who are trying to serve Jesus in Israel right now. They come with some of the ladies that have followed Jesus, and they take Jesus' body and they prepare the body, the gruesome preparation. I want you to think about Jesus' body for a minute. I'm looking around to see if there's any real young children here. You've seen the story, most of you, the passion of Jesus' body that was ripped open. Flesh hanging off. These people had to take Jesus and they had to wash him. And then they get long strips of linen cloth. We'll talk about that the next time I speak, which is in 2 weeks' time. And they covered it in this spice, 95 pounds of this spice, where they cover the body from head to foot. Do you know why? Because when the body decomposes, it stinks. So these spices are there to stop the smell. These people were used to working with dead bodies. And so as the sun sank, they have to fulfill the law that they have to take the body down from the cross and they have to bury the body before sunset so that they can prepare themselves for the Sabbath and for the celebrations. That means they have to go out and get washed and they have to do all kinds of things. They've touched dead body. So they can't celebrate everything that other people would normally celebrate because they're defiled in Jewish law. But they have to get this done. Let's have a look at Matthew 27:62. On the next day, which followed the days of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said..." Who are they talking about? Jesus. Have you noticed that when someone's got a problem in their life, they try and transfer it onto you? Have you ever had that? Yeah. Where they say, "You're just like that." And I go, "Am I? Sure you're not talking about yourself?" Remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, who only ever told the truth, by the way, who always counteracted lies with truth. That's why he wasn't liked. And when you tell the truth, some people won't like it. They will not. They don't want to hear the truth. But we tell the truth. Amen. We tell the truth. Hallelujah. We do what's right, not what's popular. "After 3 days I will rise again. Take a guard. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until that third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body." We'll talk about that in 2 weeks' time. "And tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. The last deception will be worse than the first." Ooh. "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make that tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the tomb and posting the guard. In hell, the demonic forces were celebrating. There was a party in hell because Jesus, they thought, was dead. They thought they'd got their way. and everything was good. What they'd forgotten was that God had a plan. That Jesus, the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, I don't know when in time, sometime a long time ago, well before Andrew's birthday, they got together, they made a secret plan in their war cabinet. We've heard about our Prime Minister meeting in our war cabinet this week, haven't we? Making plans. I tell you, God had a secret war cabinet. There were only three people that knew this plan. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they planned everything meticulously throughout history for the coming of Jesus. For his birth, for his death, for his resurrection, and when he comes back again. We haven't seen that yet, but it's already in the plan. And be assured, as the plan has been followed right the way up to the resurrection, the plan will be followed for when Jesus returns, and you need to be ready when he comes back. You cannot afford to miss it. It's really important. You need to be in the camp with Jesus. In World War II, Churchill called the Allied forces together, and they had a secret war cabinet. And they made plans about how they were going to have the biggest seaborne landing ever in the history of the world, to land in Europe and to release everyone from the demonic dictator called Hitler. Now, the British and the Americans didn't agree on where they should go. The British, Churchill wanted to go somewhere else. They actually went where the Americans went, which was Normandy. And the plan was, on June the 5th, 1944, that they would land on Normandy. But they couldn't. It was one day late. It didn't go to plan. And the plan was that the forces would storm the beaches in Normandy and free Europe from this evil dictator. Thousands of years ago, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit planned for D-Day. I call it Deliverance Day. And Jesus is raised from the dead. Already in the plan. Already ready to go. Where death is once and for all defeated. World War II, cabinet, war plans. The objectives were not met. At the last moment, they failed. Even the best laid plans of men and mice. Jesus' plan in his war cabinet never failed. It didn't fail at the end. Enemy goes, checkmate. Jesus goes, really? Let's just wait for a bit. And the enemy thinks, we've got him, we've got him, we've got him. Jesus takes a piece that they don't even see, they don't even know about. He goes, really? Goodbye. Your plan's failed, but mine's won. Is that not good news for us as a church? Some people say, well, actually, Jesus didn't die on the cross. He was crucified. We admit he was crucified. We say, yes, he was crucified, but he didn't actually die. They call it the swoon theory. Can you say the swoon theory? Swoon. The swoon theory is where people say that actually Jesus, because of the lack of blood, his blood loss, he actually fainted on the cross. And then 3 days later in the tomb, he came round. Does everybody know that theory, or does anybody not know it? Okay. For those that don't know it, let me explain it a bit more. But let's think about how this story cannot be credible. And I'll give you some other stories that people say in 2 weeks' time about Jesus' death. First of all, those Roman soldiers deal with death every day. They kill people. They see multiple deaths. They know when someone's dead. They're not stupid. Plus, if they'd have allowed Jesus from that cross and he was alive, they would have been punished probably by death. They're not going to allow anybody to get down from that cross until they're dead. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, the ladies that took Jesus' body in the tomb and they prepared him. They're not like you and I. today when we lose somebody, that the body goes to the morticians and they deal with it. We don't see that side of it. They were used to preparing. And do you think those ladies would have wanted Jesus to be alive? They'd have hoped. They'd been watching. Is he breathing? They knew he died. So let's say that Jesus had fooled all these people, and then 3 days later he comes around in the cold of the tomb, takes off his grave clothes, and then gets the big stone, and rolls it away. 3 days without food or water, going through a horrific beating and then on a cross. There's no way he'd have been able to move that stone. Anybody been really poorly? You get up in the morning, all you can do is just get out of bed. You've got no energy for anything. And even if he didn't manage to do that and roll that big stone away, I've seen the size of the stones, they're big, I couldn't move them. Had to overpower 2 gods or a number of gods that were hardened men, and they ran away. The swoon theory is not credible. Either Jesus did rise from the dead or he didn't. And he doesn't give you a choice to say, I'm not sure. You have to make a choice. Did he or didn't he? And today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying to you today, you need to make a choice. Do you believe who I am or do you not? Because I am coming back. And we've talked about the bridegroom being ready, church. And we need to be ready. And we have a window of opportunity. I want to tell you this Easter, Kate. Kate, could you stand up, please? Thank you. Kate and I are going to start putting together a drama that we've never done before in this church. It's going to be the best drama this church has ever seen. We want you to be part of it. And we're going to look about the illegal trials of Jesus, and we're going to broadcast it. And we want you to help us. So if you're interested in being a drama queen or a drama king, please see Kate. And we're going to do that on Resurrection Sunday. And I need as many people as possible as we write this. It's going to be fantastic. Stronger, better together. We need to understand that God had an amazing rescue plan. But the problem is, people out there don't know about it. They don't know the story. Your job and my job is to tell them. Isn't that right, Pastor Emmanuel? Unless they hear, they can't believe. And we've got a message that people need to hear. And we can line it what's happening in the world today. In the wars. There's a great war going on that we don't see. And it's the battle for souls. There's a battle between good and evil. Between demonic angels, fallen angels, and heavenly angels. There's a battle going on. There's a battle today that we cannot afford to just watch and let it go by. If we're going to be stronger, better again, we've got to tell the story. We've got to let people know so that they know how to be saved and come out the enemy's camp and come into God's camp. So when Jesus returns, they're going to spend eternity with him. And church, we have to wake up. It's lovely to be together today. I love it. But the purpose of this place is to build ourselves up and to go out and to help people. Amen. Next time we're going to talk about the resurrection, but I haven't quite finished. Jane, if you're ready. So there's this party in hell going. And the demons are praising Satan. Do you know that they praise Satan? Do they? Lucifer, why do you think he wanted to be the all-powerful one? Because he wanted praise. And they're praising Lucifer in heaven, in hell. Sorry. And all of a sudden there's an abrupt end. Because Jesus walks into hell. And he comes to Satan. Give me them keys. Give me them keys now. 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 Takes the keys. Sorry, did I help you? Takes the keys forcibly from Satan. Because Satan at this time had the keys of death. Adam handed them to him. When Adam sinned, he handed the keys of death. There should have been no death for Adam and Eve. But when Adam sinned, he gave it for whole mankind. That's why you and I die. Jesus takes the keys. Amen.
Amen.
D-Day's coming. We'll look about it in 2 weeks' time. Jane, would you come and join me? I want us to just pray for you this morning. First of all, if we're going to be stronger, better together, if there are secrets in our life, God needs to deal with it. We will not expose anybody in this room, but you've got to deal with it, because the enemy would use it to destroy your relationship with Jesus. And you won't get any more intimate with him. You won't. I'm sorry. It won't happen. It'll be a barrier. Today. Do something today. If you're fear of death, if you're afraid of death, then allow the Lord Jesus Christ today to minister to you and to remove that fear. If you fear of darkness, I was with somebody the other day and they were telling me they cannot sleep without putting the light on. They have Jesus in their life. You do not need to fear darkness. Tonight you will have the best night's sleep you've ever had. And you do not need to fear the devil. Let me tell you, yes, he's strong. He is powerful. But Jesus is more strong. And he will fight for you. And if he's in the room with you, the enemy is powerless. It's when you open your lives to him, the enemy, that you give him power. And you need to allow Jesus to come and take those keys from the enemy in your life. We're going to close our eyes. And if you need, I don't want you to be embarrassed on any of those things. I'm going to ask you to stand, because I want us to pray for you this morning. This is not to embarrass you, but this is to break those things. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to stand and wave your hand at me. Put your hand up so I can see that. So with every eye closed now, if there's anybody in the room or if you're watching on the telly now and you want to do something, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. Please do that now. I know there's more. If you want to give your life to Jesus and you haven't done that yet, I'm going to ask you to stand and just put your hand up so I can see it. If you're doing that at home, there's people online and you can connect with them. Father, I pray for those fears that would be broken in Jesus' name. That they would be gone. That there'd be a good night's sleep. There'd be no fear of death or worry. And for those that will respond, I believe that we will respond to give their life to you today. Father, I ask that this will be a day like no other. And Lord, in this room, if there are some sins that we need to deal with, secret sins, Lord, where the enemy might take advantage of that and use it against us, we pray, Lord, that we will deal with those today with you. And we'll ask for help if we need help, that we can move forward. In Jesus' name, amen.